1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 to 36. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and we may praise your glory. We may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Friends, I'm just going to pray and then we'll have a look at this passage. Lord God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for what you teach us about yourself and about us. Please, Lord, grant us understanding. May my words be your words and may you move our hearts and our minds to seek your face. Amen. I don't know what you think about when you think about missions. This week we're having a break from our prayer series and thinking about missions and global outreach or just reaching those who are lost. And I'm not sure what you think about when you think about missions, whether you think, oh, that's a bunch of people that have been called by God and they go overseas and we give money at church so we can support them and they're out there doing that kind of work. Maybe that's what you think missions is. And that would be true because that is part of what mission is. Or maybe you think that mission is the primary purpose of the church to reach out to people. And John Piper said that actually the primary function of the church is actually to worship. And out of our worship comes missions to the world. And so I'm not sure where you sit with this. Maybe for some of you, you don't realise that in some ways you're also on mission, whether it's at school or at work. That's your mission field. Maybe it's in your family. And so we're all kind of on mission in some way. But here today we're thinking about the nations and reaching the nations for God. I think the centrepiece of the passage that Caitlin just read to us is verse 31, where it says, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Caitlin was right to emphasise that when she read it, because that is the centrepiece of this passage. The Lord reigns. And so today, I'm thinking about this idea of let the nations be glad that the Lord reigns. The nations should be glad that this is the truth, That Lord, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, is the one who reigns. And we need the nations to be glad about this because they need to hear it. And so there's a couple of reasons I think this is true from this passage that I want you to take away tonight. The first thing I want you to see from this is that the nations need to be glad that the Lord reigns because they need to seek his face. They need to seek his face. Look at verse 8 with me. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And so here the psalmist is right that you need to seek the face of God. We need to proclaim his name and praise him. It's actually an instruction to do it. And in some ways, David is talking to his people here. But the psalmist extends it to the nations. If you look at verse 28, it says, ascribe to the Lord all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. You see, we're all meant to seek the face of God. And it's actually here, it's a command. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the nations. We are obligated to worship this Lord because he reigns. And the nations need to know this. They need to know. But why should we seek his face? How do we kind of do that? You see, when it talks about seeking the face of God, it's not like God says, okay, I'm here, now you count to 100 and see if you can come find me. Right? God doesn't work like that. It's not hide and seek. We know that we can seek the face of God because of what he has done. His great acts, we're told there in verse 9. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wondrous acts. You see, we know that we can seek God because of what he has done. And God does the things he does because of who he is. He is the Lord who reigns. And because that's who he is, he acts the way that he does. And because we see those things, we can seek his face. God acts first. It's not that you have to find God to see what he can do. But see, that's kind of the opposite to the way the nations work. In verse 28, we're told, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You see, you know, idols don't do anything because they can't. They're deaf and dumb and mute and they don't move. I'm not just talking about statues, I'm talking about the things that we make idols in our lives. They offer you nothing. They don't act. In fact, they're completely dependent on you to love them. But God loves us and he acts in a way so that because he does that, we can seek his face and we can know who it is that we are seeking. And some of the acts that we're told about here, if you look at verse 19, we're told there, when they were but a few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to another. And he allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. And so here, some of the acts of God is that he protects his people. He protects them so that they might praise his name and proclaim him and ascribe to him. And so he protects his people. It's a beautiful thing. And he protects all those and he walks among the people. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. You see, God is caring for all people. It's just started raining and it rains on you whether you're Christian or whether you're not. You see, God works among all the people. His love extends that far. And so when we can see these mighty acts, you can see the face of God. In verses 31 to 33, we get to see that the heavens rejoice. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. The fields sing. I haven't heard it yet, but apparently that's what happens. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy to the Lord. See, the other thing that God does is he creates and he sustains his creation. In Romans 1:18, where Paul tells us there, you are without excuse because you can see what God has done And so we are to seek his face because he reigns. See, Israel in the Old Testament didn't necessarily go out, like we talk about going out to save people and to tell them about Jesus, because they didn't have Jesus yet. But the fame of God brought people to Israel. When God looked after his people, people came to Israel or heard about it. You see this in places like Joshua 2, verses 8 to 11, in the story of Rahab, when the Israelites are going to Jericho, and she hides the spies. And when she's talking to them, she said, "We've heard about what your God did to the king of Egypt. So will you remember me when you come?" She'd heard about God's fame, what he was doing for his people. It's the same thing with the Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings 10:1. We're told there that she came to Israel to talk to Solomon because of his wisdom and that it came from the Lord. And so God's fame and renown moved throughout the area to the nations around Israel that they might too seek his face. We need people to seek his face. Because we're told in, Jesus says in John, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And that's the face we want people to seek. The nations need to know. They need to be glad that the Lord reigns. Because we are obligated to praise and to ascribe to the Lord. The nations need to know. If we don't tell them, how will they know? The second thing I want you to take away from tonight is his loving judgments. Now, loving judgments might sound a little bit weird, but go with me on this. Let's look at verse 12. "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." No one escapes the judgments of God. But sometimes we think of judgment, we think it's not just about pointing the finger and placing blame and convicting people. That's not what judgment is necessarily all about. The judgments of God display his love. His judgments set things right. See, friends, if evil is left unchecked with no justice, it wouldn't be right. There would be no reconciliation. And this would not be loving. But God is setting things right. And this is one of his works, his judgments. And he ought to be praised for it. We cannot let things go unchecked. But God's judgments in all the world are based on his standard, not ours. We can't tell God how he should judge. We don't have the perspective of God to be able to do that. But this should make the nations glad that God is always right and just. You see, the success that you and I are having at setting things right is there for everyone to see. In other words, we're not doing such a great job. We're killing the planet and we're killing each other. But God's judgments are right. And in verse 14, his judgments are comprehensive. You see, the context of this psalm in 1 Chronicles 16 is the return of the Ark. The return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. That is the symbol of the presence of God is back where it belongs, among his people. It's in the right place. And it's understood that the person writing the Chronicles is actually writing this after they've come back from exile. That's when he's writing. You see, even then, God is setting things right. His people were taken out of their home and God is bringing them back. And he judges those who have done wrong by his people. They're back in the land that God gave them as an inheritance. God is setting things right. So these people would understand what's being said here. One thing that you and I want is justice. We love justice, and when something goes wrong, we want things set right. And we're seeing a lot of this at the moment with what's happened in New Zealand. We want justice, and we're struggling to figure out how to bring about that justice. Who makes the judgment calls on this? It's not just saying we reject people or we're not going to say their name. Is one life for 50 enough? And who decides on that kind of judgment? See, we all want justice. But it is God who brings that justice and he sets things right. This ought to make the nations be glad that the Lord reigns in his judgments. And the nations need to know that God's judgments come out of his love. The third thing I want you to see tonight is that God redeems. The nations need to know that God redeems. Look at verse 34 and 30-36. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Save us, God, and gather us and deliver us from the nations. So the psalmist is saying that God redeems when we cry out to him to save us. Israel is calling out to be saved from the nations because they've been sent into exile at some point and there are nations around them that want to get hold of them and they want to get rid of them. And he's saying, bring us out from the nations. That's what Israel is asking for. Because when we're amongst the nations will corrupt God's people with idolatry and idol worship. And they're saying, come out of the nations. And so that they're asking for that so that God would redeem them and that they can be his people and he can be their God. But I think the picture is bigger than that. When they're crying out that God would bring them out of the nations, God's name is at stake here. And so God will bring them out of the nations so that they can be a light to the nations. God brings them out of the nations so that they might be a light to the nations. God is making himself a people, rescuing from their enemies. But God will still reach out to them through these people. These people need saving. They need to see the light of God's goodness and his grace, that the Lord reigns. And the amazing thing is that God uses the nations around Israel when they go bad as an instrument of judgment. But then he uses them to show mercy to God's people so that they can come back. These words that we're looking at here in 1 Chronicles 16 are also written in Psalm 106. And in Psalm 106, we've got the story there of Israel's history and that sort of thing. And towards the end of that psalm, we read this. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. So the people who held the Jews captive, God showed mercy through them to his own people that he might bring them back. People like Cyrus and Darius. Isn't that, that's just a sheer show of power, isn't it? And then save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. In Psalm 106, God redeems his people to make a people for himself, but also so that those people might be a light to the nations. And it's the same for us. God calls us out of the nations, out of the world, so that we might be a light to the world. Because Jesus has become that light. And we are to take that light to a dark and lost world. You see, if we just stay in the nations and look like the nations and we don't look any different, then what are we doing? We're just idolatrous people. But as God redeems us, fills us with his spirit, as Christ lives in us, we live holy lives that become a light to the nations. And that's Christ in us. But there's another way here, I think, that God redeems. He redeems a people for himself so that they might be a light to the nations. But he also redeems culture, I think. Because he's saying here that ascribe to the Lord all you families of the nations, but he's not sort of saying how you have to do it. You don't have to give up all parts of your culture to be able to be redeemed. And I think that's because God redeems culture as well. There are certain things about people's cultures that are beautiful. And this is one of the beauties of the diversity that God has created. And he redeems that culture. Some of the good things about our culture, we take them and they become an end in themselves. And that's when idolatry comes about. We're more interested in the things that we do rather than who gave us the good things. Because the good things about our culture point to someone bigger, something better. And that's our maker. It's not just an end in itself, but it's saying there's someone who gave you this and you should see where that heads. So part of our culture might be what we eat, and God redeems that and you enjoy it, not just because it's nice, but because it points to God. Or when we celebrate, or in our relationships. That's one of the beauties of our culture and the fact that we are so diverse in those areas. God's love extends to all people, even their cultures, and he redeems that culture. Just this week, my wife, Narelle, works in a public school and she ran Harmony Day on Thursday this week. And Harmony Day is where it used to be you dress up in orange and remember that we're all nice, to be nice to each other. But this day, Narelle had different cultures. There were parents from different cultures coming together, sharing some of their food, some of their artwork, the games that they played, the stories that come out of those places. And there were many different places and it was a fantastic day. Right, the photos are on Facebook if you want to see them. It was great. And I'm proud of my wife for doing it, of course. But all these people came together and they could share these things and they played games together and they laughed and they learnt from each other. And I'm told that there was a wonderful respect for others who come from different places. And this is a good thing. I want to encourage this in our community. It's a celebration of humanity. But isn't the gospel the same thing? It's not just a celebration of humanity where humanity is the end in itself. It's saying the good things about humanity point to someone bigger. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And the nations need to know it. God redeems even culture. Can you imagine on that last day, you know, when all the nations, God is gathering them together in Isaiah 2 or Micah 4 or Isaiah 65 or Revelation 7 or Revelation 21, 22, if you didn't get all them down, bad luck. And all those places where we see God bringing the nations together, wouldn't it be incredible if we had the richness of the diversity that we have in this world that God has redeemed? We'd have foods and aromas from the Middle East, from Asia and Europe. We'd have singing and celebrations from the Pacific Islands. We'd have music and dancing from South America and from Africa. And we could enjoy the land that we have like the indigenous of Australia know and understand it. And thank God for all of those things. I was trying to think about how modern day Australia, what they could offer to this. And after thinking for 3 days, I thought we could probably offer a good cup of coffee. I know this is stereotyping a bit, but can you imagine how beautiful and wonderful that kind of diversity is as we all worship the same God? Because he's redeemed culture. He's redeeming the nation so that we might enjoy this. You see, we're not going out to change people's cultures. We're going out to change their hearts and show them that this is the God who gave them that culture. These things point to him. The clincher to all of this is that the nations need to give thanks to the holy God and glory in his praise, recognizing that God is the Lord from everlasting to everlasting. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The nations need to know. They need to know to seek the face of God. They need to know about his loving judgments. And they need to know that he redeems them. He redeems them as a people for himself and their culture. They need to know. And so as we think about this Sunday, I want to encourage you to do 3 things. First thing is I want you to think about whether you should go As John and Fiona were talking tonight, I don't know if that sort of triggered something in you worth thinking about. But do you have a nation on your heart that needs to know these things that we've talked about tonight? Maybe you're thinking even about people that are in your family or your school or your work that you need to reach. The second thing I want you to think about tonight is praying. Pray for the amazing and difficult work that our missionaries do. And John even alluded to tonight how difficult a period had been for them overseas, but they still go. So we need to pray for them and uphold them in prayer, because the nations need to know. And thirdly, I want you to think about giving and how you support. Are you just holding on to all this good stuff that we have here in Australia, or are you prepared to be generous with it so that the nations might know? Let the nations be glad that the Lord reigns. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you again for our missionaries and how you're using them. And I pray, Lord, that you will be pressing on our hearts how we should be seeing the worship that we have for you coming out and being fulfilled in mission. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll be working in our hearts and our minds to change us and to think about those things. And Lord, as we do that, will you just recapture us with your gospel, so that we might see that that's where all things point to our God who loved us so much that he gave himself so that we might come to him, that all the nations might come to him so that they can be redeemed, so that they can be his people, and you can be our God. Amen.